Well, good afternoon. I want to talk to you a little bit today for a few minutes about spiritual warfare. Last Friday, we talked about the fact, or we ended up talking about the fact that if you find yourself under intense attack, if there's intense attack against the body of Christ in the world, in our culture, whenever the enemy gets fierce in his assault, it's because he knows that you're advancing. He knows that God's church is advancing and about to break through into a place from which they will never relinquish. And the enemy's about to suffer a loss from which he will never recover. That's important that gets down inside of you. That's what's going on. But what about what do we do? That's what's going on in spiritual warfare. That's what I just mentioned. That's what should encourage you to know that, wow, you know, this is good that the enemy's frightened. He's throwing everything at me because I am about to break through into a place and gain more territory, advance more, and I'll never relinquish that. He'll suffer a defeat from which he'll never recover. That's awesome to know that. So it can change my mindset about the battle. I can begin to thank the Lord for the battle, knowing that something good's coming. But in the midst of the battle, what do I do? How do I warfare? How do I do warfare? The place in the New Testament that really talks about this is in chapter 6 of Ephesians. And of course, today, we can't look at all these things. Now, we may look at this more tomorrow or the next day, but let me just show you some basic things to help you. Paul in the scripture is not talking about spiritual warfare. He talks about spiritual warfare, but that's not his emphasis. His emphasis in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through verse 17, verse 18, is about standing. The emphasis isn't about warfare, though warfare is mentioned. It's about standing. That's what Paul's trying to communicate. That's really significant that you understand that. Paul is not even saying here that we're called to wrestle. The verse where people take that from is in verse 12. Let me just read these verses to you, then we want to keep going back trying to find a place. This is chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, or our wrestling, it would be in the King James, would be wrestling, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore. And then he goes on, speaks about the different aspects of the armor of God. So there's a few things I want you to see. One is this. When he says in verse 10, finally, he's bringing this letter to some conclusions. And the last thing he talks about is the fact that sometimes there's a struggle. Now, again, Paul's not saying that we're called to wrestle. He's simply saying that wrestling will happen sometimes, that there'll be an attack sometimes, there'll be a struggle sometimes. But he's not saying that we're to engage in wrestling. He's just saying the struggle is going to happen sometimes. We're going to come under attack sometimes. Because if you think this is about your wrestling, it'll end up shaping your approach to spiritual warfare as one of performance, one of formulas. It'll end up putting you under such anxiety and pressure because you're supposed to somehow shoo the devil away like it's your job and you got to get it right for that to happen. But the truth is, it's his job. What he wants us to do is stand. Now, again, when he says the word finally, it's in light of everything he's said already in this letter in Ephesians in the first five chapters. And the first four chapters, the first three and a half chapters, Paul reiterates something that's so significant. Let me just read a verse 2 because it's just here so much in the scripture. He says in chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So hear that again. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, where? in Christ. Verse 4, for just as he chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world, you should be holy and blameless before him in love. And he predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ to himself, according to his kind intentions of his will, the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In Christ we have redemption. And he goes on in this first sentence, which is actually the first 13 verses is one long sentence. He uses the word in him, in Christ, over and over again. 27 different times in the first few chapters of Ephesians, the term in Christ or in him is used. And so when he says that you have been blessed, have been with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, that says that you are a recipient of all of God's favor. It's yours. You have God's favor in your life, and you've been placed into the very life of Christ. And so the first three chapters is trying to reinforce, trying to drill down into into our hearts that we have a new identity, that we are in Christ. We've been placed into his life. We've been placed into his adequacy. We've been placed into his strength, his morality. We've been placed into his life and into his story, that he might live his life and tell his story through our life and our story. We're in union with Jesus. Jesus lives in us. Because we're in his life, he lives in us to live his life through us. That's our identity. That's who we are. Having said that, he then says, finally, my brethren, he says, be strong how? In Christ, in the Lord, and in the strength of his might, not your formula, not your might. Again, if you read through this, Paul's not telling us to struggle. This is not primarily about warfare. It's about standing in who you are in Christ. It's about standing from a position of victory that's already been won because you're in Christ, and standing from a place of favor. Remember the gospel? The gospel is our inclusion. It's a free gift. Our inclusion into the life that Jesus lives and the favor he lives under. So this place of standing, and he says it three times, standing firm. We stand when the wrestling happens, when the struggle occurs. That's a better word, struggle. When the struggle comes, when you're under attack, under warfare, things are going on. We don't pull out the formulas. We don't get into performance. You know, we got to somehow shoo the devil away by all the things that we do right. Instead, we stand. We stand. That means that we're in a position. We're not standing. The standing here doesn't mean determination. It simply means that we stand firm. We stand firm in a victory that's already been won. And we stand firm in a favor that's already been given us, that we are under God's favor. And from that place of favor, from that place of being in Christ, from that place of victory, we simply stand firm and resist. Resisting from favor, resisting from who you are in Christ, resisting from the fact that at the cross, the enemy's already been defeated. That's significant. Our warfare isn't to gain a victory. Our warfare is standing in a victory that Christ has already won in whatever arena the attack is in your life. You are in Christ. You're standing in Christ. You're standing from that position in Christ. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And that's why he says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. So again, you're not trying to endure the battle. You're not trying to fight the battle. You're not trying to wage war. You know, again, pulling out our charismatic formulas. We're simply standing in a victory already won because we're in Christ. Christ is the victorious one. And then from that place of favor, we stand. He's trying to take ground that we already have. We're not trying to gain ground. We're standing. That's really important to understand. The other thing is that it talks about putting on the armor of God or taking up the armor of God. The Greek word there is actually sink into. It's not something that he's trying to give us, is something that we already have. We're in Christ. And the armor of God actually is Christ. When he talks about the armor of God, it's not like this something that he gives us from heaven, that God gives us some armor. It's actually the armor of God. You with me? It's the armor of God. It's the armor that God has, the armor that God wears. It's being in Christ. Christ is our armor. And all these aspects of the armor are just different aspects of Jesus from which we rest in, from which we stand in, and from which we stand in against the enemy in the day of struggle. It's the armor of God. It's not some formula or some prayer that you pray. You know, it's the armor of God. You're in Christ. Therefore, you have the armor of God, which is Christ. That's his gift to us, is Christ. And Christ is the armor of God. So you're in Christ. Jesus has already conquered the enemy. So you're standing in Christ in a place of victory already won. Amen? And from absolute favor, having been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And from that place, we resist the enemy. From that place, we simply stand firm in who he is, the victory that he's won, and let him now do the battle. Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Not you're trying to be strong for God, trying to be strong against the enemy. Just stand in who you are. Just decree who you are. Just remember who you are in Christ. And remember that you're under his favor, total favor. And that just sink into, that's that place of just resting, into Christ who is your armor. Remembering that you're in him, that the victory's already won, and watch Jesus do the fighting on your behalf. And let him shoo the enemy away instead of you stressing out and you trying to do it, getting into all kind of works and performance. Okay? Well, I trust that's a word that's practical for you. Bless you. Christians are so sincere and they try so hard to live a life that only Jesus can live. They try so hard to gain victories over a victory that Jesus has already won. They try so hard and ask God to give them things he's already given them. You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly place. You've been blessed, past tense, with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. He wants us to abide in him. And when the struggle comes, when there's an evil day is happening or days strung together, what do? We stand. It's not about determination. It's about position. We stand in our position of being in Christ, in his victory already won, and in his favor that we live under. Okay? Well, God bless. Have a good day. See you tomorrow at noon.